Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all this morning as we gather on this Sunday to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are glad that all of you are here this morning. This is a special Sunday because we have some special visitors in our midst this morning. First of all, we have with us Lisa Gopal's family, her sister and her brother-in-law who are here visiting from Canada. So we give God thanks for them and for their ministry. We also have Lisa's brother who's been here before, Randy Gopal. He's got that wonderful name. I should say Randy makes a mean a curry dish. I was telling him in October we're going to have a taste of Alni, and so we look forward to inviting people of various cultural backgrounds to share their dishes, and we're going to put Randy on the short list for that. But we give God thanks for them being with us here this morning. This is also a special morning because we have with us visiting our former youth pastor, Jason Brennan, and his wife, Charity. And Jason, your family has grown since the last time you've been here with us, and we're glad that you are here with us, and glad to see the enthusiasm as the little man here for worship. We give God thanks for that. But we thank Jason for his ministry, both Jason and Charity for their ministry. They had a wonderful ministry here at the Alni Presbyterian Church during their time here together, working with our youth, and God has blessed them and continues to bless them. And so, Jason, I would just like you, Sean might have told you this, but if you would come up and share with us a minute for mission, just to catch us up on some of the things that you've been engaged in.
Thank you, Randy. It truly is a joy to be back here as we were driving down Fifth Street. As we were driving down Fifth, we remembered all the different shops that we saw and different streets, and the names started coming back. And then we walked in and saw so many faces that we know and love, and new faces too, and that's exciting. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Jason Brannon. I was the youth pastor, youth director here from 2006 to 2012, if I remember my dates right. This church was transformational for us. It was my first vocational ministry outside of my home church. I worked here while I was going to seminary at Westminster in Glenside, and it was just a tremendous blessing to be here. We're currently in Chicago at a church called Church of Christ Presbyterian. It was a historically Japanese American church. Started during World War II when it was illegal for them to meet. But they met underground, and they were Christians and became a church. We are in one of the most diverse neighborhoods in Chicago, so it feels a lot like Alni in that respect. And our mission at CCP is to be disciples and make disciples. So that's what we focus on. I want you guys to know that many of the best ideas I've introduced at our church, I have stolen from you guys. I don't tell them that, but you know, when we do a block party or I want to bring in Pentecost in the streets, just all sorts of fun things that you guys have done, and just wonderful ways to minister to the community. One thing that we're very excited about, we just built a little free pantry outside our church that, you know, so you can put non-perishable stuff in. And what we're trying to encourage is that it's not the churches, it's the neighborhoods. And so, you know, we want to supply stuff, but we also want people to give. And one of the really neat stories of this was about a month ago. You might remember that there was a baby formula shortage. And we had someone in our neighborhood who managed to get, you know, the single-serve individual ones, just a case of them. and they brought it to our church and said, we know if we come to your church, it will reach the community. That's the same heart that I learned here at Olney Prez. But, you know, really the biggest impact that Olney had on us was just an appreciation for the needs of foster children and the foster care system. Many of the teens that we worked with in the community were part of the foster care system. And God just used our time here in Philadelphia and Olney to shape our heart. And so we're excited to introduce our three foster children. We have Darnell, who's four. Darnell, how old are you?
I'm four.
Good job. We've been practicing. And then Sada is two. I'm hoping to make a preacher of her someday. She's certainly loud enough. And then Segoria, or Sugar as we call him, because he's so sweet, is 18 months. And of course, yeah. And of course, you all remember Charity. This church also has been so generous and continues to be generous. When Sugar was born and we needed to upgrade our car to a little bit bigger vehicle, this church contributed to us and has supported us as missionaries. And the money is we're grateful for it and it was helpful, but what we really appreciate is the love. We feel like this is a home church to us. We are so happy to be back. So it's great to see you all, and I'll stop stealing Randy's time, but thank you all. Sorry, I'll leave the pulpit. This is Zach Almusica. Did I get that right? Zach Almusica, or no?
Almusoka.
He is a teenager in our church. He's originally from Syria, but he's been here since you were five. And he's coming along and helping with all the craziness. So
amen. Thank you very much for that, Jason. You are still remembered fondly by many of the youth who you worked with here at Olney. They're no longer youth. So some of them are quite big, but thank you for both your and Charity's ministry and for the work that you do, especially in Chicago. Just a couple of other announcements. Just want to remind you all of what we've been announcing for several weeks now, and that is Vacation Bible School, which is going to be from July the 19th through Thursday the 21st. Jason, we really miss you on Vacation Bible School. Really missed the way you led that, but we are going to be doing that again. We still need volunteers for that, so if you want to volunteer for that, please let me know and we'll get you hooked in. But that's going to be July the 19th through July the 21st. Please make sure that you read your bulletin and go to our webpage so that you can stay abreast of all the happenings here at Olney Presbyterian Church as we move into the summer months and as we begin programming for next year.
Good morning again. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Galatians, chapters 5, verses 1, and then verses 13 through 25. In your pew Bibles, it's on page 1064 to 1065. Please listen to God's word. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom. Brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
For freedom, Christ has set us free. That's the way the Apostle Paul begins our passage this morning. And I should say that as Americans, he is speaking our language, isn't he? He is speaking words that are near and dear to our hearts. He is speaking the words of freedom. Freedom, of course, is a major theme in our national story. Last Sunday, we celebrated Juneteenth, the time when African-American slaves in Texas were told that they were free, at least temporarily. And next week, we'll be celebrating the 4th of July, or I should say we'll be officially celebrating it. Some people have already begun shooting off fireworks and celebrating already, but it's all about freedom. We are a nation who celebrates freedom. Indeed, the story of our nation is one of enfolding freedom, the expansion of freedom for all of us Americans. A nation that began with freedom only for a few landed males, white males, and then expanded to all white males, and then expanded to African Americans, and then to all women. But the story of freedom is the story of our nation. But we need to be careful this morning. We need to be careful what we do with our freedom, because if we're not, we can easily end up enslaved again. Even a country such as ours, even a country that has a history in freedom, a country grounded in freedom, if we are not careful with what we do with our freedoms, we could end up, all of us, in slavery again. Freedom, of course, is one of the major themes in the book of Galatians. Paul is writing to the Christian communities in Galatia, and he is reminding them that they have been set free. They are no longer tethered to the law, the Jewish law, the Torah. But they have been set free. That's what Paul wants them to understand. That's what it's all about, freedom. Many people have the impression that the Christian faith is something that is constricting, something that is controlling, and indeed that's the way many people have weaponized it. Many people use it to monitor and to control and to constrict. But Paul says that the Christian faith is not about controlling. It's not about constricting. It's about freedom. And that's what Paul says in our text this morning. For freedom, Christ has set us free. But don't submit to a yoke of slavery. Again, be careful what you do with your freedom. Of course, the freedom that Paul is talking about this morning is not the freedom the way we usually construe it. It is not political freedom. It is not economic freedom. It's not the freedom to do whatever we want to do. It's not the freedom to pursue our dreams. But the freedom Paul is talking about this morning is the freedom that you and I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the freedom for us to be the human beings that God created us to be, that God called us to be, men and women made in the image of God, men and women called to glorify God and reflect God's glory into the world. Paul says that that is what we were created for. That is what has occurred in the Lord Jesus Christ for freedom's sake. We have all been set free. Free to be genuinely human. But he says, be careful. Be careful what you do with your freedom. For Paul, there are two ways for us to live. One is that we can live our lives according to the flesh. And I know for many people, whenever we hear the word flesh, we tend to think of the body. And whenever we think of the body, we tend to think of sex. And that's what a lot of our fights are about, both outside and inside the church. And indeed, the flesh is a part of that, and it encompasses all of that. But when Paul talks about the flesh, he's not simply talking about the body. And he's not simply talking about sex. But when Paul talks about the flesh, he is talking about that whole realm of existence that is lived in opposition to God. He's talking about all the ways that we put ourselves at the center of things. All the ways that we are indifferent, not only to the will of God, but also to the needs and the concerns of our neighbors. He's talking about all the ways that we devour one another and use one another for our own selfish ends. That's what Paul means when he talks about the flesh. It is all the ways that we set ourselves in opposition to God, and all the ways that we show contempt for our fellow human beings. Paul lists a catalog of vices that are associated with the flesh. Anger, strife, dissensions, factions, quarrels, fornication, idolatry, licentiousness. All of it sounds pretty much like our country right now, doesn't it? All you have to do is turn on the television and somebody is angry. Turn on the television and people are quarreling with one another. We are divided and angry and torn with strife, quarreling and arguing and seeing each other as enemies, devouring one another. Not only does it sound like our country, but unfortunately it even sounds like some of God's people. Sounds like some of our churches. And yet all of these vices are vices that are not only destructive of our individual integrity, but they are destructive to our social and collective life as well, which is why they're so dangerous. But Paul wants us to understand that that's the nature of the way of the flesh. It's about bondage. Bondage to dehumanizing and death-dealing ways. And that's why Paul reminds us that we need to be careful about what we do with our freedom, because freedom can easily slide into licentiousness. It can easily slide into self-indulgence. And haven't we experienced that a great deal too in our country, in licentiousness, a license to do whatever we want to do regardless of its impact on anyone else? We are people who celebrate our freedoms, and sometimes we don't care about how it impacts anyone else. Our freedom. Our freedom to carry weapons and guns out in the open, our freedom to do whatever we want to with our bodies, our freedom to pollute our rivers and our streams and this beautiful creation that God has created, our freedoms. We cherish our freedoms no matter what. But Paul says, be careful. Be careful with what you do with your freedoms. Paul reminds us that in Jesus Christ, you and I have been set free. We've been set free from all of that. We've been set free from all of the anger. We've been set free from the factionalism. We've been set free from all of the strife. We've been set free from all of that. In the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul reminds us that we have crucified the flesh with all of its passions and its desires. And as Messiah people, as new creation people, as kingdom of God people, Paul reminds us that we are called to live in a whole different way. We are called to live lives that are characterized by love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, generosity, gentleness, self-control. Now, to be sure, none of us can live this way on our own. We can't be peaceful on our own. We can't be loving on our own. We can't be kind on our own. But Paul reminds us that these are fruits. They are the fruits of the Spirit operating in our lives. For Paul, it's not the law that guides us and directs us as God's people, but now it is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of new life blowing in the midst of us, blowing in the midst of our lives, changing us and transforming us so that our lives bear fruit. Not just any fruit, but the fruit of God's Spirit. When someone becomes a follower of Christ, when someone is called by the Lord Jesus Christ, there ought to be in evidence some fruit of the Spirit. Occasionally someone will tell me that, someone is a Christian. Someone is a follower of Christ. Someone, maybe a celebrity or a person, a well-known, a public figure, and they purport to be a follower of Christ. And I'm always excited about that, always good when people are followers of Christ. But there ought to be some fruit. There ought to be an inkling of love. There ought to be an inkling of joy. There ought to be some peace. There ought to be some kindness. There ought to be some kind of generosity. There ought to be some fruit. Doesn't matter how many times someone holds up a Bible. It doesn't matter how many times someone declares that they are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there is no fruit, then we might very well question whether or not they are actually walking the way of the Spirit or whether they are still people ensnared by the flesh. To be sure, none of this Spirit, this fruit-bearing Spirit, happens to us all at once. The Spirit doesn't change us instantly. It's a process. Sanctification is called. It's a process. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Spirit transformed us all completely overnight? But that's not the way the Spirit works. We all need work in different areas. The Spirit operates in our lives in different areas. The Spirit is moving in our lives. But some of us need different work. Some of us may need the Spirit to work on our kindness. Some of us may need the Spirit to work on our patience. Some of us may need help with gentleness, and some may need help with generosity, but it's the Spirit that does it. It's the Spirit moving in our lives, but it's a process. It doesn't happen all at once. Neither does it the Spirit's work happen in us automatically, as if we didn't have any role to play. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we didn't have to do anything? All we had to do was sit back, be open to the Spirit, and the Spirit operated in our lives, transforming us, changing us, and being the kind of people that God would have us to be. But that's not the way it works. We are called to do something. We are called to participate in this great work of transformation that the Spirit wrought in us. We are called to practice these virtues of kindness and love and generosity and joy. We are called to practice them, to bring them into practice. And that's why we need each other. Because again, we can't be loving on our own. We can't be peaceful on our own. We can't be kindness on our own. We can't be generous on our own. It takes a community. We have to practice that love. We have to practice loving one another. We have to practice being gentle with one another. We have to practice generosity with one another. But the more we put these virtues into practice, the more they become a part of us. The more we put them into practice, the more like Jesus we become. And the more like Jesus we become, the more human we become. And the more human we become, the more free we become. Because that's what God's freedom is about. It's about us being human. It's about us being the human beings that God created us to be. It's about us being creatures that reflect the glory of God. It's about being free to be human. In other words, the Spirit frees us and empowers us to love God and to love each other. That's what the Spirit empowers us to do. And as Paul says, that's what the law was always about. The law was always about love. But Paul says that we've been set free by the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit to love one another. But be careful. Be careful what you do with your freedom. I've been a preacher for a good little while now. Been around the block for a good many years. And being a preacher is hard. I'm sure Jason can attest to that. Used to look easy, didn't it? But being a preacher is hard. It's hard because, you know, you have to help people to see things that may be difficult for them to see. You have to help move people who might sometimes be a little bit resistant. You know, I used to talk about God's love and God's call for us to love. reminding people that God loves each and every one of us. God loves us more than we can even begin to know. God sent his son so that we could have life, but God loves us, and God not only loves us, but God has called us to be loving people. God has called us to love. But I noticed that whenever I would talk about that, I often get a little bit of pushback. And I used to wonder, why in the world are people pushing back on this? After all, I'm not the one that says it. Jesus says it. Paul says it here. Well, you know, what's the pushback? Why are people so resistant to love? And then one day I got a revelation. I found out a little bit why. It came by way of a 16-year-old girl by the name of Fallen Stubbs. Her mother was killed in 1996 when a bomb was detonated in Centennial Park during the Olympics in Atlanta. The perpetrator was eventually caught and arrested and put on trial. And he harbored some of the most noxious and hate-filled views that people could hold, views that hatred and just terrible views. But during the trial, Fallen Stubbs was permitted to make a statement. And she did, and one would have expected her to make a statement desiring to see this man punished for killing her mother. But what she said is, what she told this person who planted that bomb there, she said, "I forgive you." And not only did she say, "I forgive you," she even at one point said, I love you." And when I heard that, I was livid. What do you mean you forgive this person? What do you mean you love this person? Are you out of your mind? What do you mean about forgiving this person? I mean, who could do something like that? Who would do something like that? Who would forgive? Well, we know the kind of person who would do that. A person whose life exhibits the fruits of the Spirit. I'm sure that young lady had her time of grief, time when she struggled with her anger, time when she didn't know whether or not she was going to be able to make it, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, she had been set free. Set free from her anger, set free from her desire for revenge, set free from hatred. She had been set free. And that's what Paul says. He says, "For freedom's sake, you have been made free." Now don't submit yourself to a yoke of slavery again. As we approach the 4th of July, I have to say that I have some grave concerns for our nation. I've been watching politics for a long time, not terribly closely, but an observer. And I'm concerned about how divided we are. I'm concerned about all the rancor. I'm concerned by the way we devour each other, because I know, as one of our presidents once said, a house divided cannot stand. And we need to be careful. We need to be careful what we do with our freedom, because if we're not careful, we're going to be enslaved again. It's going to be a matter of time that we are enslaved again. It's going to be a matter of time that the freedoms that we cherish will be taken for us. So we need to be We need to be careful. But here's the one bright lining in the midst of all of that, and that lining is you and me. Because you and I are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are the healing that our country needs. We are the healing that the world needs. We are the people who, in our life together, can show our country and indeed the world what it really means to be free. Free from hatred and dissension and quarreling. We are the people who are called to live free. But be careful. Be careful what you do with your freedom. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have called us here as your people this morning. You've called us here as your people to bear witness to who you are in the midst of a broken world. You've called us to exhibit the fruits of your Holy Spirit, the fruits of life and love itself. Lord, continue to blow your Spirit in our hearts. Continue to blow your Spirit through this church, Olney Presbyterian Church. Continue to blow your Spirit through all of your people as we go back to our respective places of service. In Canada, in Chicago, wherever we might be, help us to be people who exhibit the fruits of your freedom. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.